Welcome to The Security Detail, a podcast by Splunk Surge where we examine the cyber threat landscape across different industries. I'm Kirsty Payne.
And I'm Audra Streetman. This is our final episode for this season of The Security Detail. And it's been such a fun learning experience. Kirsty and I, of course, have never produced a podcast before, and we want to thank all of the listeners and interview guests for taking the time to speak with us. And we hope you learned as much as we did from the past 12 episodes, which is crazy to think we're able to get 12 episodes in this series. It's also been interesting looking back to see how the threat landscape is different and also similar across so many different industries.
Yeah, a great opportunity to speak to so many interesting people as well. So for our capstone episode, which is this episode, we're taking a bit of a different approach from our usual questions about security in a particular vertical. Instead, we actually went and asked past interview guests about the best advice they've received and also the failures that they learned the most from in their careers. And so in this episode, we put all of those juicy nuggets of wisdom together because we really think security is a team sport. So it's so important to share good advice and also recognize that failure is a part of improving. So firstly, thanks to all of our guests for being such good sports about this. It's always tough to talk about your failures, but a really important part of learning going forward. So let's get to it. We'll start with Paul Kurtz from episode one, where we discuss security in the public sector. Paul is currently Splunk's chief cybersecurity advisor, and here's his top advice from his career.
Maybe a little bit counterintuitive, but sometimes it really helps to take the job that nobody wants, because often that job turns out to be the most interesting job. And that has happened several times to me in my career, where I was like, nope, I'll sign up, I'll go to Iraq. Nope, I'll sign up, I'll go to North Korea. I'll do cybersecurity. Yeah, I'll start a trade association. All those kind of things are why a lot of people say, why the heck are you doing that? And I don't understand that. You're crazy. So sometimes going after something that is nobody else really wants to do is not a bad thing.
And I love this advice. I can definitely relate to decisions that I've made in my past that ended up being much more interesting or impactful than I originally anticipated. And some jobs that require a level of sacrifice, like moving to a foreign country, for instance, can actually provide a level of experience that you wouldn't get elsewhere.
Yeah, I like this advice because it's really counterintuitive to take those jobs, right? Usually people don't want them for a reason. But if those reasons don't apply to you, take that nudge, the opportunity to get out of your comfort zone and excel where everyone else expected that job to be horrible. And actually, that's really impressive to do. You show your adaptability, you make the job your own, and maybe you even make it more appealing to others in the future, in the pipeline. You're showing how it could be done in your own style. So I really like that advice from Paul. Episode two, we featured Ian Keller, who is a security advisor and former CISO. He's speaking about the telco industry.
Probably one of my biggest bugbears today is when a chief information security officer is referred to as a cyber security officer. Because in my mind, cybersecurity is just tech. And we are so much more than just tech. We make sure that even when they're running a business process, that they think about things like privacy. They think about storage. They think about what is the requirements in terms of the Promotion of Information Act. You know, you being able to review your access. How do you destroy data if you're putting it into this thing? When people talk just cyber, it's like relegating us back in the days in the 1990s when all we were looking after was antivirus and firewalls, and we had no influence into the rest of the business.
So this advice speaks to the ever-growing role of the CISO, and I love Ian's advice about not relegating ourselves. Security risk and compliance risk are crucial for organizations to manage. And the more we depict the security team as niche specialists, well, the more we neglect and ignore that huge remit and the potential we have to change things.
Cybersecurity is so much more than just tech, and it's important to think about your strategy holistically throughout the business and not just in the realm of cybersecurity, but its impact to the entire business. We also have Tim Chase from episode three, who leads up the Manufacturing Information Sharing and Analysis Center.
Best advice received in my career. Well, it would probably be something like, if there's an opportunity, just go for it. It may not always seem immediately beneficial, but whether it's working on a different project or saying yes to that training that no one else wants to go to, just go ahead and do it.
So this is very similar to Paul's advice that we played first about taking opportunities even when they aren't the most popular. So if two of our interview guests are saying this, I think it's advice that's worth paying attention to.
Yeah, two out of the first three. I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. I think taking opportunities when they present themselves really demonstrates the flexibility mindset that we need more and more in security. In episode 4, Dan Tripovich shared the top threats to the public sector that he's observed in his role as Assistant Director General Standards for Technology Advice and Research at the Cybersecurity Center in Australia. And he also shared this bit of advice in our CISO Say So. And it was so good that we thought it was worth repeating here.
For me, out of practical experience, be a good human, talk to your security partners, engage and enable them to be successful.
Be a good human. I mean, it sounds so simple, but so many people forget that when there is a crisis or the job is stressful or they're dealing with business areas outside of security. It's really easy to be dismissive or cut people out when they don't understand, or if you feel like they're slowing you down, but it really doesn't make for long-term success.
Exactly. I think working in cybersecurity is much more than technical skills. There's also soft skills and being able to work effectively as a team, especially when you're in tense situations, maybe an incident response scenario, for instance. It's very important to work well with your colleagues. Otherwise, you can't do it all on your own. So being a good human is great advice. Up next, we have advice from Zach Nelson, the director of the Health ISACS Threat Operations Center.
You just want to do what's right by your organization is that you can't die on every hill. So you got to pick your battles wisely. What's super important? What's priority? What's really critical? Because again, you go back to the fact that the business needs to run in order to make money for the business to stay afloat. And so I would say that's probably the best advice that I've learned while working in cybersecurity.
Choosing your battles can be difficult in cybersecurity when you don't want to leave any stone unturned, but you do have to prioritize decisions when you're working with a limited staff and budget. So I think this is great advice from Zach.
This not only avoids burnout, but for me, it importantly avoids the hero culture that is so often present in security organizations and can be quite toxic. You know, if everything is on fire all the time, you lose the impact of what you're saying. It's a bit like the fairy tale, the boy who cried wolf. You have to work out what's actually important, what comes above and also below that priority line to make your judgments seem real and make them seem important when you call them. In episode 6, we heard from Susie Squire, who is president of the Retail and Hospitality ISAC, and here's her best advice and lessons learned from past failures.
I would say the best advice I've received in my career is to jump in. It may not work out. It may, you know, fail. It may not be what you look, but you're always going to learn. You know, I took this position. I created this organization. That was a risk, but you jump in and you learn so much. You just never know what avenues are going to open to you when you go into an area that may be a little challenging, maybe a little scary. And there's always people out there willing to help. Don't ever think that you're the only one who has to know the answer. There's always people to reach out to. And in terms of what failure have I learned the most from, I can't say I've had any one knock on wood yet, although it's always, you know, right behind me, I'm sure. Epic failure, but I definitely have had multiple, you know, other failures. And I think the biggest thing I've learned from those is, you know, own up, face it head on, figure out what the best answer is, ask people to help. And do not try to walk away from it.
It's very true that owning up to your mistakes can be difficult and scary, but it's also usually the best choice. I like Susie's point about reaching out for help because no one in this industry knows everything. And so that's why collaboration and information sharing is so important.
It's interesting you say owning up to mistakes because I say owning your mistakes. And I think human psychology makes us very fearful and ashamed of mistakes when we make them. And it's the same reason why people don't report that they've clicked the link, right? Ultimately, the more open you can be to owning your mistakes, the more people will respect you. You learn a whole lot more too. And the security outcomes are usually much better, but it is very hard to do. So we don't minimize it, but great advice from Susie. From episode 7, we also have great insights to share from Paul Truman, who is Executive Vice President of Segments in Cyber and Intelligence at MasterCard, talking about the financial sector. Take a listen to his advice.
Years ago, I was given a recommendation to speak to someone. He was a retail director. I went to see him, and the first thing he said is, he gave me two pieces of advice. First is, find something that you like doing that others think you're good at. Just do that. And if you enjoy doing it and they think you're good at it, great. And then he followed up with, the next time you meet, come back and tell me what your long-held ambition is. And if your ambition is to become CMO, he was then very rude. But he just said, don't bother coming back. Because what he was saying is, what are you after in your life? And how is what you're doing going to help you get there? And if it isn't, then get yourself a new skill and then move towards a plan. And I think, you know, find something you like doing and others think you're good at. It's a great starter for anybody right here. And I use it with my, when I'm using my mentor scheme with people, I tend to put that one up front. I think you need to know when to stop. So we admire that we're doing something and then we go I'll put more effort in. I'll really push it. I'm really going to go for it. And it's still not working. And then you realize things are not looking right and you keep on pushing. You've got to know when to step back from the edge, take a cold, hard look at it and go, I've got to stop this, or I've got to stop this project. I remember actually selling a project and I knew in the end, the restrictions being put on me were so heavy that we would never be able to deliver it. So I actually got it to the point where everybody went, this is great. And I went, right. And now I'm going to tell you why I'm going to kill it. But it needed to happen because no one wanted to face into the challenge that we were getting was insurmountable. And once they saw all the evidence, they went, yeah, I get the point. So being able to kill your own things is a really important part of that process.
That's a really interesting point because, again, it's the human psychology of sunk cost, which is so prevalent in business investments. And security is no different. We're not immune from psychology. Once you feel like you've invested so much time and effort into something, you often think, oh, I'll just do a little bit more. I'll just do a little bit more. But you really have to know when to stop. And it's actually a huge strength to stand back and recognize when things are going so bad that they are just not recoverable.
I think it's important to recognize when an investment is not paying off and then consider changing course or even canceling that effort altogether, which can be difficult, but sometimes the right decision. Our next piece of advice comes from Sean Heidi, the Technical Research Director at the Cloud Security Alliance.
I think the biggest piece of advice I was given when I got into security as far as this career path was, don't be afraid to fail. And that's kind of lived with me because it kind of opens up your reality of this job, because you hear often like, oh, you know, you're on a security team and you suffered a breach and now that individual is getting fired. When in reality, you should absolutely, you know, not to say you should be a part of a breach, but you should not certainly be afraid to want to be a part of it if it happens, because it's only going to help you create a stronger knowledge base on how to handle it, how to react in that instance. I mean, from the military days, you learn how to react by actually being in that situation. And the same goes for security. You know, it gets quite stressful. And I know for everyone it can at times, but the way you're going to become an expert and grow in this field is by actually having the hands-on approach. And you only get that from that kind of experience. So don't be scared to fail, because it's one of the best things that can probably happen to your career.
So I'm definitely noticing a theme among these answers about the importance of not holding back, taking opportunities, not being afraid to fail. And really the best way to learn is by doing.
Yeah, it's like us with this podcast, actually. So getting hands-on experience, you know, it's valuable. But we're all such perfectionists in security. I think if we can let ourselves go a bit, try new things, you fail, but improve and be accountable for that, that would be a much better state than just never trying at all. It's definitely a recurring theme. Up next, we have episode 10, where we spoke to Richard Wayne, head of SecOps at EasyJet, about the aviation sector. And here is his advice.
I've worked with some very talented people in the past. I think one that was an ex-CIO said to me that you need to make sure you ask the right questions. So sometimes the biggest mistake is not asking the right questions at the right time. So I think that's a really important trait of a leader, as well as just to ask the right questions to get the information you need, or just to make sure that the people you're working with understand the particular topic, understand a particular strategy. So yeah, that is something that I think everybody can sort of benefit from, is being asked the right questions to prompt a certain way of thinking.
So this is fantastic advice, because as a leader, you can't expect to automatically receive the information that you need from your team. You have to cover your bases by asking the right questions to draw out the answers you're looking for.
Yeah, and when finding those questions to ask, being thought-provoking is really hard, and it's not something you're going to get from your favorite LLM tool either. So making sure people understand your strategy can really be helpful, and I've heard this described as radiating your intent by Michael Brunton-Spall, who's a UK government security leader. By radiating your intent, you're much likely to get a better response. And this means, you know, instead of asking, what's the best way of knowing if we had unauthorized access? That's a much better question than asking, how can we best inspect IP addresses? So radiate your intent and make sure you're asking the right questions and being really thought-provoking. It's great advice from Richard Wayne. In episode 12, we spoke to Luke O'Brien, who is NATO's principal engineer for cyber defense. And I love his bit of advice that he received in his career.
I think the best bit of advice that I'm thinking back to is probably one of the first bits of advice I ever got from one of my first bosses. And this addresses the topic of sort of burnout, which I know is a major issue in the industry. So what he said to me is, this was in a busy sort of operational job back in the Air Force, and he said, give it 70% every day. I said, well, what do you mean give it 70%? And he said, well, if you're always going at 100% in the normal day-to-day, what happens when you go to some sort of crisis, or not even a crisis, but, you know, a period where you're busier than average, you know, you've got nothing else to give. And that can really have negative effects. And I remember reflecting on this a few years after this, when I saw a colleague of mine have a heart attack in the office and be defibrillated in front of me. So I thought, that 70% thing sounds about right. And as somebody with a long background in incident response, you know, you are so easily sucked into these super long hours and 24-hour bridge phone calls. If you're going into that not at your best, you're going to really struggle. So that sort of paradoxical advice of always give it 70% is something that I've maintained in the back of my mind.
So I love this, because what a lovely boss to tell you to work less or try less, you know, really caring about their employees' welfare and putting that first. And I think Luke is right. Burnout is a massive issue in the industry, and so is stress. And I can exactly see why that's very helpful advice. Hopefully it doesn't always end up in that extreme case for heart attack, but it really does affect professionals day to day.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think stress is such a huge component within cybersecurity. He also had a story that he shared about a failure that he learned from. Take a listen.
I've made plenty of mistakes in my career, as I'm sure most experienced security professionals have. And I think the key thing is not to be too hard on yourself. So with that in mind, there's one I want to talk about from a few years ago. So it was when I was in the Ministry of Defense, and one of our partner organizations, a third-party company, had been hit by a cyber attack, as happened really, really regularly. So they were connected to us through various gateways, and I was given the order, disconnect them. Okay, it was me. I was the only person around on that day. I'm not sure if it was a Friday afternoon, but that's typically when these things happen. Disconnect this company from our network. Roger that, boss. I'll get straight on it. So cut them off. Then the next sort of week, I had emails coming in from the CISO of that company saying, please reconnect us. That network connection that you've cut off actually provides all our phones. So not only have we lost our computer network, we have lost our phone network as well. So that was quite difficult, because once you've made a decision to cut somebody off, it's quite a long process to get them back in again, because you have to do your due diligence. You have to make sure the incident is resolved. And as we all know, as security professionals, that usually takes the longest time. So I had to sort of go back and say, well, I was told, I've done what I was instructed to. But I think the lesson from that is sometimes you've got to stand by your guns and say, no, this is the risk mitigation that we wanted to take, severing the network connection. But sometimes you might have to row back on that. And we did in the end. We did get them reconnected, and their phones were then working by the end of that next week. But I imagine that was probably the longest week of his life, that particular CISO. And if he's listening, I do apologize. But it's a learning experience that we all have to go through sometimes.
So Luke's story really highlights the fact that incident response doesn't always go as planned, and the ability to respond to that sort of blowback is very important. What did you think about that, Kirsty?
You know, again, it goes back to our common theme, right? Don't be afraid to fail, but when you do, don't be too hard on yourself, because it happens to the best of us, clearly. So our last advice and failure comes from Joe Slowick, who is the threat intelligence manager at Huntress.
Certainly never stop learning, but also never assume that you know everything at the same time. That knowledge is a continually evolving place. And to think that you've ever completely gotten there is a horrific failure. And so consistently pressing on and learning new things is critical. The only thing I will say is that if you haven't failed at something, then you probably haven't been trying hard enough or have been as ambitious as you could have been. Failure is not something to be afraid of. Failure is something to always look at as an opportunity to grow from. And as long as you can identify those opportunities and understand why that failure existed, you'll be fine in the end.
And that's a great one to finish on. Again, back to our theme of don't be afraid of failure. So what a fantastic run through of our guests, their advice and their failures and all the episodes that we covered through this series of the podcast. I've personally had an absolute blast because it's been a great excuse to talk to some leading security professionals in their field about their industry. And I've learned something from every single one of them. And it's been an absolute pleasure to be a co-host, and huge kudos to you, Audra, for making it all happen. The Security Detail really is your brainchild and you have been spectacular. And I'm going to stop because this feels a bit like an Oscars thank you speech, but just want to say, of course, we have to say thank you to all of our listeners as well. You are what we do this for.
And thank you to you, Kirsty, of course, for helping out and finding a lot of our interview guests, especially with a global perspective that you've been able to add to this podcast. I've really appreciated that. And I've learned so much from those interviews. And of course, we're not done. We actually have a second season coming out in early 2024. In early January. So stay tuned for season two. Our first episode, I'm very excited about. I actually had the opportunity to travel to Tallinn, Estonia to tour a NATO cyber exercise. It's actually NATO's flagship cyber exercise. It's called Cyber Coalition. Nearly all of the NATO members were present along with partners, including Ukraine. And I was able to see how they structure the exercise, what threats they're focused on, and how it's beneficial with collaboration, which can be really difficult when you're looking at this global perspective with all of these nations working together with a common goal. So I'm really excited to put the episode together. So stay tuned for that in January. And in the meantime, thank you again, Kirsty. It's been great working with you the last several months.
And you too, Audra. And I'm so excited about your NATO episode. I'm incredibly jealous. I'm sure many of our listeners are, but can't wait to hear it already.
Thank you. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of The Security Detail. If you like what we're doing, please share The Security Detail with your friends. You can look for us on Podbean, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks for listening.